Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you're just joining us, the Braves announcing that Ozzie is now on the 10-day injured list. Right toe fracture, which happened last night when he got hit. Didn't expect that to come down, but Braves will deal with it. Hopefully won't be out that long, and as I said, get back soon, Ozzie. So we'll talk more about the Braves coming up as they were able to beat the Astros last night.
First place, still lost your starting catcher, and now you're losing your starting second baseman for a while, but they keep on trucking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just I think we take for granted how good the lineup is, night in and night out, and how difficult it is to face these guys.
Right.
And you saw it last night in the ninth inning against one of the best closers. They got after Josh Hader. That doesn't happen a whole lot. There aren't many lineups that can do that. And once he got into trouble, it was over. So I just hope that, you know, this doesn't slow us down. But we do have depth. And this is something I know Turtle was concerned about. Jared Kelnick, by the way, hitting over 300. He's having a good season so far. Guys are just playing their role. But Ozzie's a great player, guys. And Mike has said it. He doesn't believe that he gets enough credit for how good he is around the league. And so you take him out of the lineup. How does that affect us? We're going to see.
Right. And so just, you know, it's – I know as a Braves fan, I know there's no way to figure out how it's going to time out and how it's going to – but you, most people say, get it over with now.
Yeah,
because
right.
they do tend to come in bunches or – but again, you never know. Like with that pitching, you already – if I told you back in March, well, we'd be losing Ozzie for at least 10 days, Murphy and Strider's done for the season, that's a pretty gloomy picture for a minute.
It really is. Record doesn't say that, though. They did select the contract of infielder David Fletcher, so he's going to make his way up to the bigs.
Fletcher.
404-726-0929. It's our Salomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can text us. You can find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. The transfer portal is open. And this is like something that's kind of fairly new, all right? If you go back 10 years ago, nobody's talking about the transfer portal. 5 years ago. Now, this is a thing, especially after spring games, because guys get a sense, hey, I'm either going to get some playing time or I'm not. I'm either going to see a lot of snaps or I'm not. And if I'm not, more than likely, I'm going to end up in the portal, which means every school is going to lose guys. It's just what it is. Georgia, though, Mike, is built to withstand a few losses. As we get into the dog report.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Now, you were telling me there are some guys who may be on the move.
Well, it's funny. I saw this little story. I don't know. It's one of those, you know, you look at Twitter and you say, or X, and go, who is this guy? How many followers does he have? Does he, you know, because the blue check mark don't mean anything. You buy that now. But there was a report I just saw earlier from a guy I've never heard of saying that Justice Haynes, who is son of Verron Haynes, we just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot. Yeah, that Verron Haynes, who later on played with the Falcons for a minute, but his son has been like sort of like the, maybe some Bama fans would feel an underutilized running back for the Tide, and there were some whispers he was going to leave when Kalen DeBoer first stepped in, and there was a report out there earlier. I just talked to a buddy of mine who's an Alabama fan. Goes, that's not true! But anyway, keep an eye on Justice Haynes, who may be looking for more minutes, or I should say more carries somewhere else if he can't get happy at Alabama.
Hmm. Yeah,
Georgia's got no room, basically, no. Scholarship-wise, as Connor Riley told us yesterday from Dog Nation.
No, this is, and it's a good dilemma to have simply because, Mike, your retention level is very high at Georgia. You're always going to have guys, even before the portal, in and out, guys that are coming off of injury, or maybe they're not going to get as many snaps, and you say, okay, maybe I can go somewhere else. That necessarily hasn't changed, but this idea, like, you have massive exodus where 10 or 12 or 15 guys, that's not happening at Georgia. Right? No. You're going to lose a few guys, and so be it. And as I said, the program itself is built to withstand that because of the depth that Kirby and his staff have been able to build. Right. Not just this last year. This goes back. You don't build depth overnight. That's why now you feel like they're going to be so good every year because, Mike, you're three deep at every position with four and five stars.
You know, Bear Alexander transfers out to USC, then he transfers out of USC. You know, so that's – and like everybody's circumstances.
Did he transfer?
He was apparently in the portal again, so that's and if that's accurate, then you start to say, well, then maybe you're losing a guy you didn't need in the first place because is his head screwed on straight? No, as I said, everybody's case is different. Jermaine Burton went in the portal to Alabama. I mean, but it's not like, to your point, it's not like, as you said, a mass exodus. The guys aren't leaving in droves.
No. 404-726-0929. Let's talk about the subpar B grade for the quarterback room. The only reason I think Carson Beck got a B, okay, and not an A, and you heard Connor Riley say, listen, he won't throw that much in the season, during the regular season. I think he threw 46 times or something like that, but he threw two picks. And I think that concerns people whenever you say, okay, wait a minute, you've been seeing these guys. You know what the plays are. This is not a team that's doing something from a schematic standpoint to make you make a mistake, but yet you threw two picks. I'm just not as concerned about it. These guys throw picks in practice. You don't see it. Okay.
I think, as we said, well, if anything, it's a good sign for Georgia's defense, as we talked about yesterday with Connor, is you want to see some stars emerge. And maybe there's, you know, playmakers. We talked about the defensive tackles, linebackers. Who's in the secondary? Who are the guys stepping up? And that's just something I think you take and say, okay, good. Don't do it in the regular season, but it's good to see the defense, which Kirby kind of scales this thing to be better for the defense as it is. Carson Beck, your offense is not an area of concern for most fans out there. Bobo did a really great job. Yeah, you probably could have done some things differently. The refs kind of hosed you in the SEC championship, but the reason you didn't advance, it was your defense, not your offense.
Yeah, he threw two touchdowns, but the picks. And so, listen, the grades itself, I'm not overly concerned with. Again, from a coach's standpoint, even though it's glitz and glamour and TV, it's a practice. We talking about
practice.
And that is how Kirby looks at this. Now, there are things that they're looking to get out of it. There's no doubt. And what you want to see, Mike, from a competitive level is some guys you just want to see, hey, all right, the lights are on. Okay? You might be good at practice and playing your butt off, but now the lights are on and everybody's watching. How's he going to play? So, but I don't take too much away from the quarterback situation. I think Carson Beck's going to be great. And let's be honest, I'm hoping he's a Heisman candidate this year.
Right. I mean, you're on this team, which is perceived to have the toughest schedule. It's going to get a lot of TV time, so a lot of eyeballs will be on you to just do your job. One of the guys we're looking forward to seeing, we didn't get to see because of the knee injury, is he goes against the grain. No big deal about his signing day. He just kind of slowly, you know, quietly said, yeah, I'm going to Georgia. That's it. Talk about Ryan Puglisi. He went through the dog walk using a cane, had a sleeve on his knee, but he was carrying pads. So, again, it's not as bad. They say he'll be good to go when it comes time for August.
That's good news. And around college football, we'll see how everything shakes out, you know, as far as where guys end up landing, because there'll be some names, some value, or some brand names that you may or may not know that'll end up landing somewhere else. But at the end of the day, if you're asking us how this affects the Dogs, it doesn't.
So Kirby is obviously the man right now. The guy that was the man is Nick Saban. Was still the man in many people's eyes. He's going to make his debut next week, Carl, for ESPN as part of the draft coverage.
Okay.
Who better to talk about, especially some of the dudes that he coached against or did coach in Alabama.
So is he going to answer the question about Dallas Turner?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
Coach, what do you make of Dallas Turner? He was a quiet quitter. Didn't get the most out of him.
Picked it up. Right. Scored. We'll see.
5 hours wall-to-wall studio show from Detroit, and Nick Saban will be part of it. So Saban, let's see, Reese Davis, Herb Street.
Yeah.
The usual suspects will be out there. And, Desmond Howard's going to be in there, Field Yates, Pete Thamel, Laura Rutledge. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Saban, because he knows half of these guys because he either recruited him or played or coached against
him. No, listen, he's going to be great at this. And he's relaxed. There's no pressure. Saban can go in there, say whatever he wants. It'll be great. And he's always entertaining. I just feel like, Mike, with all the fuss, and, you know, I'm trying to give everybody some different options and talk about these guys. Screw it. Let's just take Dallas Turner. You want him? You want him. You want him. You want him.
Why are you pointing at me?
You all want him. Let's just take Turner.
Who was the collective we, y'all?
And I'll just sit here and say, fine, let's get on board. Apparently, I need to get on board. Michael Rothstein said, you don't know how they're going to use him. Fine, Michael. Yeah. I'll get on board.
You know, I did the same thing you're doing about Dallas Turner. Mine was, what the hell is Matt Ryan at Boston College? This guy lost the job, had to get it back. I'm not blown away by his numbers. You build a championship team with defense, and that's why you draft Glenn Dorsey from LSU. So I'm not saying you've gone down that rabbit hole. Only time's going to tell. One thing for certain.
I'm just telling you what I know.
50% of this is not going to pan out. But, you know, as the brilliant Michael Rothstein stated, you know, perhaps he just wasn't utilized by a defensive coordinator. He was only there for his last year.
Yeah, his last year.
10 sacks.
Listen, I'm not going to make excuses for anybody. I'm not going to tell you why things should have been better, why he didn't get a strip sack. Pick it up. Score. Wide right ball. I'm not going to tell you any of that.
Interception.
Okay?
I mean,
took it to the house. I'm not going to say why none of that happened and why every weekend I wasn't clamoring to see this guy come off the edge and rip heads off. But apparently, since everybody's on board, I guess I got to get on board.
Well, old hair helmet from Mel Kiper and Field Yates from ESPN.com with the 8th selection, the Atlanta Falcons select from Alabama. That's edge rusher Dallas Turner.
Okay. All right. He better be a killer. That's all I'm going to tell y'all.
You better start to wrap your head around this Dallas Turner thing because it's coming.
We better wow us immediately.
Dude.
What strip sack.
Now, by the way, if this guy does turn out to be Micah Parsons, we'll have so much fun with this soundbite forever.
I love it. That's what we're hoping. But we haven't had that.
And as I said, you know, from my neighbor, I run into walking the dog to people at the gym, guys that are, you know, big Falcon fans. Some guys agree, some guys disagree with you. They say, look, if he was such a stud, why wasn't he, like, you know, all world at Alabama?
That's all I'm saying. But fine.
But that's
you
why,
want him.
Yeah.
You want him. But I'm on board. Okay.
Some guys feel about Kevin Steele the way some guys feel about Todd Grantham. Maybe he didn't use him the right way.
Oh, Kevin Steele was a DC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's gone now.
I don't know. I mean, what happened?
Well, Saban retired, so I guess everybody left.
Kalen DeBoer brought in his own crew. Daniel Jeremiah's got Dallas Turner.
Oh, yeah.
The only guys who don't
strip sack. Yeah,
now, I never thought of you as much of an analytics guy.
Who?
But the only people that are lockstep with you on this
Who?
Is the nerds
of
from
course,
Football Focus.
Because they know what I know.
Nerds.
We got more to get to.
Go outside, nerd.
You know what? Fine. You want me here? I'm here. I'm with you now. You feel better, Turtle? You feel better, Mike?
I do.
Strip sack. Michael Rothstein, you
Plus,
feel better?
By the way, it's a good football name. Dallas Turner. There was my friend Cleveland from Detroit. Remember Forrest Gump? There was Tex from Oklahoma. And there was Dallas from Alabama.
All right. We got more to dive
Alabama.
Into.
Alabama!
Yeah. Yeah. Grant's going to join us. We'll talk about Ozzie's leg or his toe coming up next hour. When we come back, though, it's time. Mm-hmm. We'll explain next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So last night, Big O sent us a text message. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the text message was pretty simple, as we are all on a text thread. And it basically said, hey, here is the team that's going to compete in the Olympics. And there's a name missing. And I had to do a double take because I was like, wait a minute, what does he mean? So, Mike, you mentioned this. They're going to keep a spot open. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who ultimately that's going to be when it comes to, you know, this team selection. But the guy that is left off is Trae Young. And as the Hawks get ready to take on the Chicago Bulls tomorrow in the play-in, by the way, 9 o'clock pregame, tip is at 9:30, this is just something else that we have found ourselves talking about. Because, Mike, I'll be honest, I thought this was a no-brainer for him.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And as Oren Romain, our intrepid engineer producer, brought up, the fact that Grant Hill is the Team USA managing director, you might think that you know, he could, you know, have Steve Kerr, or Steve Kerr is the head coach of U.S. men's basketball for the Paris Olympics, and say, hey, you know, we got a guy here, you know, Trae's pretty good. And then you find out that it'd be Brunson from the Knicks, if he can get healthy in time for Paris, would probably take that final roster spot, according to some reports.
So
Trae can't get any love, including the fact that Grant Hill, who's involved with the Hawks, for those who don't know, is also involved with USA basketball.
Yeah, and Steph Curry didn't play in the last Olympics, so he had an injury. So he's playing in this one. LeBron hadn't played. He didn't play in the last one. He played the one before that. Kevin Durant, these are the names. Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis.
There's no problem with participation in this one. We've talked about, I know, saw it on NBA TV, I saw the other day, because, you know, when they do the world championships, and sometimes they try to, and that's maybe the reason why, like, was the guy I was mentioning from Memphis, the big tall forward, is it Jaren Jackson?
Jaren, yep.
Is that he didn't really show out in the championship, so maybe that's why I thought you could argue, we talked earlier, maybe they need some size, more size on this team, because Anthony Davis, you know, is going to get hurt. You know, at some point.
It's true.
But it's a great place to be if you need
street
a suit.
Clothes.
Great place to go if you need a suit is Paris. I don't know if sure Fashion Week lines up with the Olympics, but yeah, I'm a kid, but Anthony Davis is always at risk. But yeah, it's you know, you feel if you're Trae, and I asked this in the hallway, so I'll ask this to you on the microphone. Do you think at some point Trae says, I can't get any juice here in Atlanta? Even though I'm loved here in town, and yeah, you know, and I did take you to the Eastern Conference Finals to build my brand. And he has an Adidas. Another thing is, he's an Adidas guy. Is being a Nike guy a problem? Not being a Nike guy?
Mike,
it's not supposed to matter, but the shoe pimp thing has always been a problem with the U.S. Olympic team, going all the way back to the Dream Team that had to cover up their coveralls with the American flag.
You're right. Yeah, Anthony Edwards is Ant-Man's an Adidas guy. I don't know. Listen, I'd love to tell you guys the real reason, or the reason, or what's behind this. Mm. I don't know. There's just a lot of speculation going on about why our guy is not a part of this. Mm-hmm. And if you're telling me over the last 5 years, has he been one of the up-and-coming brands in the NBA? Has he, you know, from a point and assist production standpoint, has he been one of the best at his position? Duh.
Right.
Has he been an all-star? Yes. I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you except for the fact, Mike, they don't like him. That's it. What else can you tell me? It's not his scoring. It's not his assists.
Right.
It's not as if he hasn't been in the playoffs. I don't know.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't know. It's the Olympics. You don't really need defense until you get to the medal rounds.
This is true.
Okay.
This is true.
You're going to run through everybody like Swiss cheese, and then you got to bow up eventually when you play Argentina or France or something.
I totally agree. That is not the reason. That's not the reason. You've got enough stars on this team, and I've said this, with roles specifically that they're going to play on this team. Everybody's not going for 45, guys. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's not how this works. So we'll see ultimately what happens, and maybe he gets on this team. But I just, when the initial thought last night when Oren sent that, I was like, what?
Can I give a hypothesis real quick?
Lay it out there. Hypothesize.
I don't think he would start, obviously.
No.
So, but here's the problem, though, Carl. If you bring him off the bench as a pure scorer, his three-point percentage isn't as good as some of these guys out there. He's not going to come off the bench and just be a sharpshooter automatically.
No,
and that would be the role he would play.
I agree. And it's not about starting. It's about being recognized as one of the best.
Now, he's only, like as we said earlier, a tenth of an assist behind Tyrese Halliburton. I said to Carl, I mean, you don't think of Halliburton as an elite defender. He's just taller. Do you feel that when you get in like half court, does that make much of a difference to you as far as guys can take advantage of Trae?
It's possible. I mean, listen, as they construct this team, guys, they're going through all of this stuff, and they're thinking about potential matchups. Mm. They know these international teams. Hell, they're going to play against Luka and his squad in this Olympics, okay? The fact is, they're going through all of that. But if you're just simply telling me, well, he don't deserve to be on the team, you're wrong. He's done everything he has needed to do. Now, Mike, as we talk about the play-in itself, and let's talk a little bit about this. Speaking of Trae, I don't know if this motivates him. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Maybe he's like, I don't care. We play that soundbite where a few years ago, I don't care. Maybe he doesn't care. All I know is if they're going to do anything in this play-in tournament, and a lot of people are like, they're done. He's got to be Trae. He's going to have to score and do spectacular things in this play-in, and then they're going to have to do it again on Friday night, depending on if it's the Sixers or the Heat. And then, Mike, you get the Celtics. And if that happens, then we'll see where it lands. You know, the best of seven against the Celtics, you said it. They beat them twice in a week without Trey. So I don't know, man. I'm curious to see how he responds now that this has come out there. And maybe he knew about it, but I feel like it's disrespect.
And in case you're wondering, guys, if like me just now you looked up like ESPN.com and you looked at the stats and you can't see Trey because he doesn't qualify because of the injuries. Because you missed the X amount of games, which gets you in that final number. But if you take his 25.7 average points and you put that, now again, his assists, 10.8, that is, again, just a hair behind Halliburton. But it would certainly have you right there. He'd be, even with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, 13th and 14th in scoring.
Yeah, the hand is fine, by the way. I mean, he's not having an issue with it. So, I mean, the ball handling and all that, you guys, they lost a bunch of games here at the end, but it wasn't anything specifically about his hand or his pinky or whatever.
No, but like I said, the big picture is, you know, we have a ceiling, although it's still intriguing because of the fact you beat the Celtics and you would get the Celtics if you could advance through this thing. Although I have a hard time seeing Capella and whatever we're going to throw in the front court, Bruno Fernando going up against Joel Embiid if we advance and played Philly.
There's no doubt about it. It's the same thing they encountered with the Pacers.
I still think we could beat the Heat. You should have beat them the other night.
True enough. They're kind of discombobulated right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't feel like they're playing together as they have in years past where you just felt like, okay, they're going to put it together. They did not play well against us at all, and it's not been a great – that's why they're in the play-in, by the way. It's not been a great run.
Got to wait till 9:30 tomorrow night, by the way. They're the late game for the – in Chi-Town. And we saw the Bulls. The Bulls are a hot mess. I know that they did win more games against us, but still, you're like you're scared by the Bulls.
No. Neither one of these potential matchups scare you.
But we're all banged up.
That's it. And when you don't have a full complement of guys that you can go to the bench – Mike, somebody gets in foul trouble, you got an issue.
You miss Jalen Johnson. You can't use guys like V. Creech. You can't come in because of the G League contract nonsense.
Minimum amount of games or maximum amount of games.
So, tonight, by the way, Lakers, early game, 7:30 in New Orleans. And they just beat New Orleans pretty good back there. And then it is Golden State and Sactown. That's 10 o'clock tonight.
The B is still silent. That is his Twitter handle. He says, put him up, don't give up. Hashtag Dallas Turner. He's basically saying I shouldn't cave. It's just hard when everybody around me is on Dallas Turner.
Join us, Carl. Become one of us. Become a Dallas Turner fan.
HB says Dallas Turner is a killer. He killed half of Quinn Ewers in the 2022 season by planting him into the UT turf. Okay. That's a personal shot.
I like
shot.
Dallas. You're looking for big moments where guys are ripping people's heads off. And
I do. Mike, don't you?
Yeah, there's one.
It's personal.
Ah!
I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying that's a very personal shot right there, HB. You had to go there. I just want a guy that's going to come in. Can we get Will Anderson's rookie season? Can we get that from the edge rush? If it's Dallas Turner, can he be the defensive rookie of the year next year?
Now, again, guys, the pro football.
Yes or no?
Yes, he's going to be Carl, you're going to be – you and I will be wearing Dallas Turner jerseys to the game. Tell you, this is gonna be the dude.
I hope so.
Now, it's the reason I can't speak for you, but I will anyway. Because we've gone through 30 years in the wilderness of trying to find solid edge rushing.
Yeah.
And with the exception of a few guys, some we traded for, guys like, John Abraham. We did draft Patrick Kearney. But you got to go all the way back to the bomb squad to have some real fire breathers on this team. Claude Humphrey. You guys know the names. The point is, we always project the guy that we're going to draft who's the best edge rusher to be that guy. And that's been your argument.
That's my argument.
Just because he's the best guy of this class, is he going to be that dude? Because Vic Beasley wasn't, Tack McKinley wasn't, Rashid Hageman wasn't. We could just go on and on and on.
45 total tackles, 7 sacks, Will Anderson in his rookie year.
And he was defensive rookie of the year.
You don't think Dallas Turner could do that, Carl?
Latu.
Pretty
strip sack.
Latu.
I mean, Onyemata, Dallas Turner, along with Grady, and then you throw in some, and then, hey, if Zach Harrison could just, I don't know, man, it's not like he needs a bow flex, the dude is ripped, but I mean, if that guy continues his trajectory, all of a sudden you got You got dudes, man.
But that's the great thing about it, because Zach Harrison, if you take Turner, becomes your change of pace guy.
Right.
You're not relying on him to do anything huge. It's a bonus.
Right. Oh, Turtle, you got it. Stop with the projecting.
Hey, they may like Jared Verse. They just want one guy. See quarterback, get quarterback. Right. But you can't use him in coverage the way that Raheem might want to, though.
Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right. Well, we celebrated being number one. Carl's wife got him champagne. I popped off on the radio. Now I'm in the doghouse with my wife. We'll cover that subject matter. Also, Rory says, hey, you're going to offer me how much to play for LIV Golf? And what if I told you there's a restaurant somewhere in the world, they'll give you a free bottle of wine in the house. Give me your phone. Turn the stupid phone off. We'll explain next.
Scored!
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Hey, man, Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock. Are we going to be in trouble for tampering with Kirk Cousins? We'll try to get some answers on that one coming up. I saw a little blog from D-Led earlier today. Thanks, Mike and Carl. We'll get to that. Hey, by the way, tomorrow we're hitting the road. We're going to be over at Taco Mac in Woodstock.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing the show and see Meg, our good friend, the bar manager. That's where they had that amazing sort of fountain of wing sauce.
That's
right. Last time we were there. They had like this entire... Oh, and you were here in studio, but yeah, it was unbelievable. It was glorious. Some people saw the video we posted. They said, it's glorious.
It was great. It was.
So, not sure if they're going to put that together for us again, but we'll be at Woodstock. So if you are up in Taco Mac, come help celebrate Dukes and Bell becoming number one, men 25 to 54. Thanks to Nielsen. In the city.
I'm just chilling.
Hey, man.
I'm with you. Yes.
No, I just we're number one, and we appreciate that. Carl talked about it and came home last night. His wife had a nice bottle of champagne on ice waiting for him.
Yeah, that's not all she had. But.
Well, hey, now. Well, do tell.
No, dinner. Dinner. What and, are you? Would you get your minds out of the gutter?
And
for
then
heaven's
what happened?
Sakes. No, nothing.
Is she wearing like a frilly number?
No,
a French maid thing?
No, I will say this, though, and I got to give her some love. I got to give her some credit because she's been down since day one. When you've been with your person and they knew you when you didn't have Jack,
right,
and when you were just like, you know, I'd really like to do this, and it's just a dream, and then you live it out, it's something special when they know how important it is to you and how hard you've worked to acknowledge that. And so I got to give her some love. But no, I came home. I was not expecting anything. All I did was, would you stop it? All I did was text and say, hey, Mike and I were number one.
Seeing as how your daughter's out of town in college, then where'd the party go?
Mike, that's every night. That's every night. We could be doing that every night.
Wow.
But I literally texted and I was like, and she was like, congratulations, that's great. And that was kind of it. So when I got home, it kind of caught me off guard. Nice. But with all that said, yeah, it was terrific. And to Mike's point.
Then what happened?
Come celebrate. Orin, you're terrible. Come celebrate with us at Taco Mac,
yes.
Woodstock, would you?
So I said to Carl, I said, it's really nice. You know, Michelle had this nice bottle of Snoop Dogg champagne waiting on ice.
Oh, it's great.
And I said, I came home to, my wife got tacos from Costco. Which, don't get me wrong, you know, the tacos, the chicken tacos from Costco are always delicious and tasty, and I do enjoy them. I'm just, you know. And then, of course, as you guys know, the wife is always listening,
watching, judging.
Yeah. She immediately hits me back. I heard the comment. I did get you a bottle of Writer's Tears. And so, yes, she did. For Masters Weekend, my wife got me this bottle of this Irish blended whiskey, which I absolutely love. And if you can look for it, I mean, we're not making any money off it. I'm just telling you, it's really good. I sent Carl the picture. It's called Writer's Tears. That was the one where we had the house down in Amelia Island on the beach. The guy who was living next to us with his dog, the dogs would run on the beach. His dog and Ike would be playing around. And then the guy's wife apparently was a whack job because every day he would come over and he would hang out with us and we'd smoke cigars and we'd talk and my in-laws were there with us. So at the end of the week, he goes, hey, thanks for putting up with me. Really appreciate you guys. You know, gave me this bottle of Writer's Tears. So it's a nice, it really is. It's a smooth Irish whiskey. So thank you, dear. And yes, I did destroy that bottle while we were watching the Masters. By the way, while we're on the subject of booze, I did bring this up to Carl. We're big tequila guys. I know tequila is the craze right now. Everything goes through phases, vodka, then bourbon. Tequila is just obviously just through the roof right now, Carl. But you and I had this down in Texas at the Final Four a year ago. El Cristiano, the extra añejo. Oh, my God.
Smooth.
Guys, now it ain't cheap. I'm going to tell you right now. But my buddy, our buddy, friend of yours too, Don Mojito, brought some down. We played golf on Saturday. But if you're looking for, like, it's got to be the smoothest, just unbelievable. How would you describe the flavor? Like caramel, kind of just
it
amazing.
Is. It is. And listen, those sipping tequilas and those añejos, they don't burn going down.
No.
right?
There's no tequila face on there.
No. And you know, we drink tequila like it's water. That was our go-to always as far as in Texas. It's like everybody drinks tequila. So there's so many different brands that are out now, Mike, and so many good ones. That's the other thing.
Right.
It is, to your point, like bourbon. There's just so much out there. But that one, money.
We like bourbon. We like gambling. These are things that come up in guy talk. But, yeah, it's definitely worth it. I can tell you it's worth the price. All right. I don't know if he drank a lot of tequila growing up in Texas, but Patrick Mahomes, comfortable with his body. Of course, the photo of him in the locker with no shirt on was famously being said, look at Patrick Mahomes and his dad bod. Well, he's on the cover of Time magazine. He's in an interview with Time. And it's kind of funny. He says, quote, I love this quote, I definitely have the dad bod a little bit. I'll also say I have a great body for a quarterback. You've got to have some padding in there to take the hits that we take. And maybe there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Because some of these guys have taken their bodies to the extreme, you know, like zero body fat, which isn't right. Maybe there's something to have a little more extra pushing for the cushion and the cushion for the pushing.
I've never thought of Patrick Mahomes as being a guy that's going to have a very sculpted body. I don't see him that way. What I see him as, Mike, is just a playmaker. Like, I don't look at him in the way that maybe you've seen other guys at that position who had a body and the physique.
Right.
But he's brilliant, right? I mean, like, this goes to show you, like, you don't have to have all of that to be a great player.
I mean, look, you look at some of the quarterbacks that come through the league. Some of these guys are carved out of wood. But, again, it's not Mr. Universe. It's
getting the
football accurately down the field. But, again, I just don't know anybody who doesn't like Patrick Mahomes. I know some people are over the Kelce's over the last few years. But he did say in the story that Mahomes is a huge fan of Chick-fil-A and Whataburger. Patrick owns 8 franchises around Kansas City area, by the way, of Whataburger.
That's where it is. That's what's up. That's like smart, man.
He says that he did have a kick. He says when they first dropped that picture inside the NFL, he goes, oh, why'd you have to do me like that with the dad body? But again, he's like, look, man, I got kids. But I don't think anybody's going to fault him because you can't argue. He's the best quarterback pound for pound in the league.
Nobody.
Hands down.
Yeah. Would you not take him?
No, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
He's the guy you'd build a franchise around right now. He's still in the prime of his career. Hey, another guy, you could argue he's no longer in the prime of his career, and maybe he's on the downside. But he's still got a tremendous brand. Rory McIlroy, rumors at the end of the show yesterday that LIV Golf was going to throw $850 million at Rory to join them.
Join us and we'll rule the universe.
You said that, and I was like, oh, he's not going anywhere. And then you said $850 million. I said, he's gone.
Right. He says, no. He goes, I honestly don't know where these things get started. I've never been offered a number from LIV, and I've never contemplated going to LIV. I think I've made it clear over the past 2 years.
See?
I don't think it's something for me.
I told you.
Doesn't mean that I judge people that have went and played over there.
He's lying.
As long as you keep your hands off me, Lucky Charms. One of the things I've realized over the past 2 years is people can make their own decisions for whatever they think is best for themselves.
Yeah.
Who are we to judge them for that? Lord knows they cut me off at the knees when I went and lobbied for PGA.
He said all that.
That Monahan's a tweeb. It's a turd.
Because I wouldn't put it past him.
Meanwhile, I'm out there banging the drum for PGA. He's cutting a side deal with LIV, hanging out to dry.
That's what happened.
Just like the 6 counties of the north.
Wait a minute.
Now we're politicizing Ireland. No, so yeah, he's that last part he did not say. City AM, a financial newspaper that I quoted on these very airwaves at the end of the show last night, said that he was nearing a deal. Rory says there was no truth to that whatsoever. McIlroy's agent, Sean O'Flaherty, also denied the report.
His agent is named Sean O'Flaherty.
Yes.
What a coincidence.
The only way he could be more Irish would be like Spanky McWhiskey.
Yes.
But yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. So he says there's no truth to those rumors out there. Right. Hey, speaking of booze, we talked earlier about tequilas and whiskey and everything else. This is a really cool idea, and I like this one. There is a restaurant in Italy, in Verona, on the north of Italy, and they will give you a moderate price, about basically 35 euros, so about almost $45, depends on $40, bottle of wine on the house if you, when you enter the restaurant, kind of what happened to you when you went and saw Dave Chappelle. Turn over your cell phone. They'll put it in a little Ziploc bag, and you'll get it back later.
I like it. I like it. We are all so consumed with everything that's not right here.
Mm.
And take it in. Enjoy.
Right.
Enjoy the game. If you're at the game, enjoy the concert. If you're at the concert, Mike, enjoy dinner.
Right on.
I'm with you. I love this idea.
My thing is like,
and they'll give you a free dinner.
Get a free bottle of wine.
Oh,
free bottle of wine.
That's $200-$300 bucks.
I just think
you're with Mike,
and if you're darn right, we don't skip. Man, I didn't. You know, by the way, you were out of town because we did the show. We were at a Gas South, and I didn't get a chance to really reference it because we were off. Went to a place called Luciano's.
Yeah,
right across from the Gwinnett from Gas South Arena. Holy cow. Went with our buddy Alex.
Yeah.
Man, was that some amazing Italian. So, I mean, our buddy, again, we got some good friends up there, but one of our good friends recommended it, and man, was that good. Steve Massanelli, again, we're dropping Italian names, but Luciano's, wow, was that impressive. We sat at the bar, great wine list, great service. I know if you're a Guanician, you're probably familiar with it, but yeah. Just give him a plug. It was
no, good. No, I think I'm familiar with the place. I've been there with Steve, as a matter of fact. Right. That's why I asked you about it, and I don't know, I don't remember if we had wine or not, but when you said you guys were sitting there, How many bottles did you go?
What's it to you? Two bottles of Barbaresco, and everybody goes home.
Very nice,
but it was quite tasty.
Okay,
no, but just real quick to Carl's point, I always get a kick. It's one, like, if you're at a casual place, sports bar, okay, you're gonna have your phone, you're meeting friends. But when I see like a couple out to dinner and two, especially younger people on the phone, I mean the ambiance, the moment, being in the moment, you know, enjoy it. I'm with you. I'm no way. When you're in a nice restaurant, put the friggin' phone down. Good job.
Makes
salute
sense.
To those people in Verona.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's your guy talk. By the way, we mentioned yesterday, our brewmaster has told us the watermelon lime, the Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale, the OG is out there right now. The watermelon lime will be hitting stores and package stores here in the next few weeks.
Cannot wait. And hopefully you can get your hands on a few six packs, guys. All right, we're coming up.
No, you always have to get into my personal life when guys are flirting with Becky on the golf course.
You had to go Prince. That's number one.
So you come home.
Great song.
Is she wearing a bathrobe?
Great song. No.
Is she wearing a nightie?
No, she wasn't wearing.
Was she dressed up as a milkmaid?
She was not wearing any of that. No, I was not going to say she wasn't wearing anything, Orin.
Did you dress up as Morris Day? She dressed up as Vanity?
I didn't dress up as anybody. I came home. There was a great dinner, and there was champagne. That's all I'm saying.
And then you took it to the champagne
room.
No,
and then I had a great Cuban. That's I'll be honest with you guys. I
shared what was her name?
All right, coming up, Falcon Report. Love this song, though. Now you got me going back, Orin.
Oh, yeah.
Come here, girl. All right, Falcon Report is next. It's Dukes and Bell.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.